Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
November 27th, 2007, the Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic, weatherproofing your camera. Well, welcome back to another Digital Story. I've got so much to tell you today. I'm just bursting at the seams with information about weatherproofing your camera. Well, how did this come about? Well, there's a couple things. It's a convergence thing, right? That's what's happening here. Things are converging. They're colliding. The one thing is, as you know, I just got back from a little while ago, got back from the Caribbean, where I like to take my camera into the salty ocean and take pictures under the water. Now, one of the things that people ask me when they see me put a camera in this underwater housing is, does this thing actually work? So there's a whole question there, and I'm going to answer that question and more in this podcast. So there's one thing. So there's like one way to weatherproof your camera, because you're really, you know, waterproofing it from the environment. Then, of course, there's the whole humidity, rain thing, and I've got some tips around that. And you know, one of the things about the reason why I have tips around that is because I don't think you should stay inside when the weather is bad, when it's rainy or cold or whatever. I think you should go out and take pictures, and so I have tips to make you feel better about doing that. It won't keep you warm, it won't keep you dry, but your camera will be fine. And in the end, of course, that's the most important thing. So we have that sort of stuff going on, and we're coming into a time of year where, at least up here in North America, where we have a lot of weather. We have, you know, cold and wind and snow and rain and stuff. And so it's a good time to revisit weatherproofing your camera. I don't want you to, for you folks here in North America, I don't want you to get all holed up this winter and not go outside and do any work. Now, in other parts of the world, like in Australia, of course, you know, they have a whole different weather thing going on right now. But I'm sure there will be tips in here it's surrounded by water. We got that right there. So I'm sure there's tips here that will be beneficial to everyone listening to the show today. So about the show, last week's show, I made a mistake. I made a mistake talking about the photo assignment. And what I did was I got ahead of myself by 1 month. Now, I'm going to blame it on traveling and jet lag and all the stuff I've been going through. And so that's my excuse, and I'm sticking with it. So I incorrectly said last week and verbally in the podcast that the photo assignment for November was water, when all of you know already that I had previously stated that it was light and dark. I had said that in an earlier podcast, and I had written it on the site. And so I tried to correct my mistake in the show notes for last week's podcast. And I think for a lot of you that worked because I didn't hear a whole lot of screaming about my faux pas. But I just want to go on the record right now to be perfectly clear. This month's photo assignment is light and dark, and next month's photo assignment will be water. So forget water for right now. We'll get back to water in December. Right now, it's light and dark. Now, having said that, and because November has been such a wacky month for me, therefore a wacky month for the Digital Story and all of you, I don't have a lot of entries on the light and dark photo assignment. And I'm not surprised, because basically I screwed it up. I screwed it up by not having as many podcasts, by getting the last assignment up late, by telling you the wrong assignment, and I'm sure I figured out other ways to mess it up too. So, If you have a light and dark image in your mind and you have time to go photograph it, you'll probably get star billing on this month's photo assignment because there's just not going to be a ton of entrants. So there's the inside scoop. Now you know. And if you do have something, send it in because, you know, I'm going to run the photo assignment anyway. If it's just me and another guy, I'm running it. Okay. So at any rate, light and dark for November, got till the end of the month, which is still a few days. So see if you can get something turned in. And then next month, we will start anew with a new assignment and off to the races we go. Also wanted to just take a moment here to thank our sponsors. I haven't talked much about them lately because I've been out and about so much. But I want to thank the good folks over at Boinks Software, the makers of Photo Magico. They're terrific people to work with, and they make great products. And there's a tile there on the digital story. And if you haven't clicked on it yet, please do and see what they're up to. And then also ExpoDisc, who they're really interesting guys, and they make a great product. And I love teaching custom white balance using the ExpoDisc. And I think I'll have some surprises around that to announce soon. And then coming on next month, we have a new sponsor, and this is one you're really going to love. And you're going to love their product, and I'm going to try to get you some free stuff from them, too. So that will be next month, and probably the next podcast. I think the next podcast I'll be able to announce it. So kind of good stuff on the sponsor front. I'm very picky about sponsors that support the digital story, and I really like who we have in this new outfit coming on. Is fabulous, and a lot of you already know about them. All right. Oh, one other thing, grab shots. Oh, I still need some. So if you're sitting on one, send it in. The stuff I've been getting is fabulous. Love it. But I still need some. So sitting on one, pipe that all in. You can just, do it at the same time as you send off your photo assignment for November. Okay, enough digital story business there. Let's talk a little bit about weatherproofing your camera. Let's go back. So when I was a young lad, I've always been a photographer. I've been a photographer since I was 11 years old. And when I was a young lad, I had the opportunity to go on a river rafting trip, I think when I was in junior high or early high school. I think it was junior high, though. And so this was my first real, outdoor adventure with a camera. I've gone hiking and done all this other stuff by that time, but I was going to be in a raft, and we're going to be floating down a river, and we're going to be camping on the shore and all sorts of good stuff. And I wanted to take pictures, but I didn't want to ruin my camera, because in those days, believe me, cameras were really hard to come by. And the last thing I wanted to do is toss the only working camera I had in the drink. So what I did was, and I forget where I got this tip, but I went to the military surplus store, and I got an old ammo box. And these things are a trip. They were kind of popular when I was a kid, and they were a box that had this they're metal boxes, and they're rectangular. They were sort of like a shoe box, only a little bit taller, and the lid had a gasket that went all the way around it, and it had this real heavy duty latch, so that you would push the lid down and then you'd snap the latch, and that thing would be sealed up. And obviously, since moisture is not good for ammo, these things were definitely weatherproof. So what I decided to do is I got one of these ammo boxes for really cheap, and then I lined it with indoor-outdoor carpet. And indoor-outdoor carpet, it's really thin and has a little bit of closed foam backing on it, so it gets the job done, but it doesn't take up too much room. And I lined the whole thing with that, and then I could put my camera gear in there, and all I had to do is make sure that the ammo box didn't go overboard, and I'd be in great shape. But it could get wet and splash and float and do all that sort of stuff, and I was in great shape. And to this day, I still have that ammo box lined with kind of rust, I think it's rust color indoor-outdoor carpet, which, you know, was a sign of the times when I did it. You know, you use what you can get your hands on. And I still use it when I know I'm going to be out in extreme, you know, weather conditions, because, you put a little silica gel in there and close that thing up, and your camera's safe, and you can bounce around because the whole thing's lined with carpet and so forth. So it's safe in there. And then, you know, a little silica gel, and you're off to the races. You don't really have to worry much about your camera. So that was my first weatherproofing experience, and it actually turned out quite well. Now, moving on, one of the tips that I talk about a fair amount in workshops, and I know I've talked about in Digital Story, particularly good for when you're in moist conditions or cold conditions or any conditions where you're going to have a weather where your camera's going to go from cold to hot. So let's say outside on a cold night and you're going to bring it in. Carry Ziploc bags. I know I've given you this tip before, but it's always worth repeating. Carry Ziploc bags, because when you're out in the cold, that's when you have to put your camera in the Ziploc bag and zip it up, so that when you come in the warm house or the warm hotel or you know, the hut or, you know, wherever you are, leave the camera in the bag, and it'll come into the warm environment. And then the condensation, if any condensation forms, it'll form on the outside of the bag, and it won't form on your camera. Now, once your camera's completely warmed up, then you can take it out of the bag and you're perfectly fine. So this is one of my favorite uses of Ziploc bags, is when I'm going through these temperature changes. Now, you can also, you know, just put your camera in these bags, throw a bag of silica gel in there, seal them up, and go romping around in humid conditions or wet conditions and so forth. So they're handy that way. They're handy as a protectant when you're in, in dusty weather. Boy, especially dusty weather. You know, sometimes the dust can be very fine and it can get into your camera gear and so forth. So if you know you're going to be exposing your gear to a lot of that, make sure you have plenty of Ziploc bags. Make sure you keep them sealed up even when they're not in use, so stuff doesn't get in there. And then, you know, you can keep your cameras in there. So Ziploc bags are invaluable, and you should have a couple in your camera bag. And, you know, have different sizes. Make sure you've got enough to protect your most important gear. And you can use it for all sorts of things. But especially for condensation, it's a good way to go. Now, another tip that I've been talking about lately that I really like is more for compact camera shooters. And I think, you know, sometimes, you know, we baby our compact cameras, and I think they're a little tougher than we give them credit for. But at the same time, I don't want to say, well, just take it out in the rain and shoot, because sure, as soon as I do that, someone's going to take it out in the rain and shoot, and the thing's going to fry, and they're going to come back to me and say, you told me I could do that, and now my camera's dead. What are you going to do about it? And so, I mean, I don't really want to buy people new cameras either. I'm not in the business to do that. So I had to figure out a way. Okay, how do I get people outside shooting with their compact cameras, but yet, you know, reduce my liability so I'm not buying them cameras if something goes wrong? And so I came up with this thing, and I think I came up with it. Although, you know, people out there listening, maybe someone else came up. Maybe it's like the Thomas Edison thing, maybe where other people came up with it too, and we all just sort of, you know, picked it up off the collective unconsciousness. But anyway, I don't remember reading this anywhere. And the idea is that, you know, whenever I go to a hotel, there's always a shower cap there, you know, in the bathroom. And I never use a shower cap. If I'm in the shower, I want to wash my hair. I don't want to protect it. I don't have any, you know, kind of, you know, bouffant hairdos or anything. So I wash my hair. So I never, for years, I just left the shower caps there. I never use them for anything. And then I was thinking about, wow, these things are cool. I opened one up someday. They're cool because, you know, they have, they're plastic, right? And then they got the little stretchy elastic thing, you know, the part you're supposed to put over your head. And I was thinking, wow, what if I, you know, cut a hole, you know, just a small hole, like the size of a quarter, in the center of the shower cap. And then I could, you know, put my camera inside the shower cap, stick the lens out through the hole, but yet I had the stretchy thing where I can put my hands in and hold the camera, and it doesn't close up absolutely perfectly around my wrist, but pretty good, right? You know, if it's just drizzling or something. And I can walk around in the drizzly rain and take pictures. And when I hold the camera up, you know, if I'm using the LCD to compose on the camera, then, you know, I can just stretch my wrists apart a little bit so I can see the LCD, take the picture, put them back together. It's actually rather clever, and it works really well. I've done it. So if you're a compact camera shooter and, you know, you're a little fussy about taking care of it and you don't want to take it out when it's just drizzling or something, get your hands on a shower cap or two and have them with you. Just cut a hole in it big enough to push your lens through and try it. It's really kind of cool. And you can use it in all sorts of conditions. And you can use it in dusty conditions and slight rain and so forth. Now, it's not going to protect your camera in a monsoon or anything, but it's pretty good stuff. And it's a really good little tip to show other people. People, when I demo this tip, they're always fairly impressed. And so you can do that too. You can use my tip to impress your fellow photographers. They have to be somewhat fun-loving. I will say that, though, because if they're not fun-loving, they may look at you kind of strangely. So kind of, you know, feel them out first. Find out, you know, do kind of a fun-loving temperature reading. And if they're anywhere up there on the scale, then show them the shower cap trip, because I think it's kind of fun. Okay, now I want to get back to where I sort of started at the top of the show, is with the underwater housing that I use for my Canon PowerShot, the SD700. That's the U.S. model number. And I really like this thing. It's, if you have a Canon compact, you can go to the Canon website, and you have to dig around a little bit, but you can find it. And I think there's a link to it on one of my digital story posts from recently, the one where I posted the underwater gallery. But you can go, and they have an underwater page that has all the housings for all their compact cameras. And they have tips on, you know, taking pictures. They have tips on, you know, taking care of the housing. It's really kind of a cool page if you're into this stuff at all. But I like these housings a lot because they're affordable. You can get them for usually around $150 US, plus or minus a little bit, depending on which housing it is. They are good. They will protect your camera down to 130 feet underwater, which is some pretty serious stuff. I've never been down 130 feet, not even when I was, learning scuba. I didn't go down that far. And, you know, now I just free dive. I just use a mask and fins and a snorkel. So I'm lucky if I'm down, 10 or 12 feet most of the time. So anyway, they're good, very deep. The controls are really easy to use. And then now, because the compact cameras have such big LCD screens, 2.5-inch screens or even 3-inch screens, you can actually, compose the picture looking through the housing onto the LCD. So they're a lot of fun. And then the really cool thing is that you can shoot with these topside too. When you're above water, the glass on the front of it's just like a filter, and if you keep it clean, you can shoot topside. So you can be out in the rain. You can be on a boat trip. I use them on boat trips a lot, especially when I know it's going to be real splashy and so forth. All you have to do is have a little cloth that you can use to wipe off the front glass if it gets water splashed on it. And you can shoot topside all day with these things. Now, the one thing that you have to look out for is you don't want to leave them in the sun, especially when you're down in tropical climates, because your camera will cook inside of them. They are like sort of like a little clear solar oven there. So you keep it in the shade or keep it covered. You don't have to worry about the overall heat, but you just don't want the sun shining right on it, because I've noticed that thing just after a few minutes, it warms up pretty fast in the camera inside. And of course, if your camera gets warm, it gets hot, it increases image noise. It's you know, that's one of the weird things. So, you know, aside from just not wanting to cook your camera, you know, you want to keep it relatively comfy so that the image noise doesn't shoot up on you either. So now the thing that people have asked me a lot, and I've actually had people say that they had these housings fail on them. And they go, well, how do you feel about putting your camera in there? And I go, well, I feel fine. And the reason why is because, you know, I follow the maintenance tips for the housing, and you have to do that. The whole deal with these things is that it has a has an O-ring that runs the perimeter of the housing. And mine is like a yellow one. And there's two things you have to know about it. One is you have to lubricate it. And the second thing is that you have to know how to remove it from the housing in order to lubricate it. And you don't want to be picking at it with your nails and stuff and putting nicks in it, because that will compromise the O-ring. So they have this way is where you use the fleshy part of your two fingers. You do the pinch. It's sort of like the pinch that you do on the iPhone. You do the pinch, and then the O-ring will kind of, like an inchworm, will, you know, kind of creep up a little bit, and then you can grab it and pull it off. Now, I lubricate it before every major adventure. So, for instance, on this last trip to the Caribbean, before I went diving the night before, I cleaned my housing. I always rinse it off in fresh water right after I'm done diving. So, you know, I don't want salt and stuff to build up in there. But I got the housing all ready, cleaned it up, took the O-ring out, made sure the O-ring was clean, made sure it wasn't nicked. And then I lubricate it with I think it's like a silica gel they give you. It comes with the housing. And then you lubricate it. You put it back in. You make sure that it's seated properly. And then I put the camera in. And I try not to remove the camera any more than I have to. Obviously, when you're done with the day's shoot, you need to take the camera out in order to get to the pictures. And I will usually do two dives without lubricating the O-ring, as long as the dives are like consecutive days, or, you know, 2 out of 3 days or something. Any longer than that, then I take it out and make sure that it's clean, and I lubricate it before the next dive. That is the whole key to the thing. You don't really have to worry about the rest of the housing failing. All the other parts are, you know, made to go and go and go. All you have to do is that if you're in salt water, make sure that, you know, you rinse it off in fresh water as soon as possible after you get out of the ocean. When I'm on a dive boat, you know, they usually have a big bucket of fresh water there when you get out, because they like to rinse the mask and fins and stuff. And you can just dip the camera housing there right then too, and just get that salt water off it right away. But if you do that, I think you're going to be fine. And there are some instructions on the Canon underwater page, and I'm sure there are on Olympus and Nikon too, because they both make underwater housings. And then there are independent underwater housings. But these things, they're a lot of fun. And the big thing is, you know, you have to take good care of them. You have to keep them out of the sun when your camera's in them, especially. And then remember, you can use them in all sorts of conditions other than snorkeling, because, you know, they're truly weatherproof. So for boating, for out in the rain, even for, you know, high sand conditions, if the wind is blowing and there's a lot of dust in the air, these are all times that these housings can come in handy. And, you know, one thing I like to do is that they're also fun to take to the pool. So, you know, if you have friends that have swimming pools, or you go to the public pool or whatever, and you want to take splash around pictures, you know, these things are a riot. And especially if you have kids, you can get great kid portraits with these underwater housings on a little compact camera. So I still have one more tip. And this one's going to seem sort of like a no-brainer, but I'm surprised how often people ask me about this. But when I'm taking the digital SLR and I'm out shooting in the rain or really wet conditions or so forth, I always make sure I have a protection filter on the front of the camera. And I use the lens hood too, because the lens hood helps keep water from falling onto the front filter. And then, of course, the front filter, you can clean it on the go. And if you have to, you can use, you know, your T-shirt or you know, whatever you have handy. And it's not like cleaning the front element of your lens where you have to be very careful not to scratch it. Obviously, you don't want to use, you know, anything scratchy on your filter either, because you don't have to buy a new filter. But, you know, they're easier to clean. They're flat. You don't have to worry as much about them. And, for instance, on a lot of my Canon L lenses, they're not truly weather resistant unless you have that filter on the front. They have the seals everywhere else, and the Canon 5D that I shoot with has held up really well shooting in wet conditions. I've shot with it in the rain a number of times and just try to dry it off as I go. But it has hung in there really well. But in order for, you know, the lens to be weather resistant too, you really need to have something on the front. Now, people go, well, they don't like to shoot with any sort of filter on the front unless they have to, because they feel like they're compromising image quality. And I don't really agree with that, because, you know, the thing that I do is I make sure that I get filters that are multi-coated. And, you know, that's the whole thing. You want quality glass there, and you want it coated so that it cuts down on reflection. And, you know, that reflection is really, you know, light bouncing off the front of the glass there is really what compromises image quality. It can create flare or, you know, lower your contrast. All sorts of things can happen. So, you know, my comeback always is, well, use good filters, you know, use multi-coated filters, and you should be fine, you know, and keep them clean, of course. But I think that filters that go over the front of your lens, these are good, you know, weather protection devices. And, you know, and yes, it'll cost you, you know, $20 or $30 for a really good filter. But then again, you know, it's worry-free shooting when you're out on the go. And if you don't have a lens hood for your lenses, you know, I would recommend getting them, because combined with a filter, then suddenly your camera is much more weather resistant than it would be otherwise. And my biggest problem when I'm out shooting in the rain is that, especially if the wind is blowing at all, a raindrop will get on the front of the filter, and it'll create a soft spot on the picture. Now, I try to check my pictures often when I'm shooting in inclement weather. And a lot of times I will catch something, you know, before it gets too far along, you know. And then, of course, make sure that I wipe off the front of the camera and you know, all that stuff, and we're back in business. But that's my biggest problem, because I have lost shots. I do lose shots all the time. If a little drop of water gets on that front element, that front filter, I should say, when I'm shooting, and it happens before I know that it's there. So anyway, I like a good skylight filter or a good protection filter, multi-coated. It really helps when you're out shooting in rough weather. And I use them most of the time, I have to say, because I like to keep the front of my lenses protected. I'm on the go all the time. I'm not in the studio very much. So I need something to protect that front element of my camera lens. Okay, well, there was some, that was a boatload of stuff there, wasn't it? Anyway, I hope there were some tips in there that you didn't know, or good reminders of things that maybe you knew but you forgot. But take good care of your camera. And the main thing is that don't let weather conditions keep you inside. Take your camera out. Just take good care of your camera when you go out. Take some steps to protect it from the weather. And you know what? Sometimes those are the best shots. Those can be the absolute best shots. So anyway, go out there, nab your photo assignment if you're so inclined to. Send in a grab shot. Take lots of pictures. And I will see you here next week on The Digital Story. Bye-bye now.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.